You probably know someone, maybe even in your own family. I've got members of my own family who have walked away from their Catholic faith. Yes, they will say they are Catholic, but they say, I go maybe once a month. And they'll mention going to Mass, like, oh, I'm going once a month. And you have that opportunity to evangelize, to invite them, to bring them back to their faith. Or perhaps you have a loved one. Number one prayer request here at Relevant Radio, to bring loved ones back to the church. How do you do that? James Day has some strategies for you right now. He is the author of Father Benedict, The Spiritual and Intellectual Legacy of Pope Benedict XVI from Sophia Institute Press. James, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Good morning to you.
Number one prayer request, bring loved ones back to the church. And something that happened to me, this is probably 6 or 8 months ago. I've told this story about being on Facebook, and the instant message pops up from someone I know. I wouldn't call him a friend, maybe small f, and I know, and I don't know how the Holy Spirit was at work, but somehow a conversation about faith came up. And he said, you know, I haven't been to church in years. And I typed, well, you got to come to our parish because we've got some of the greatest homilists you'll ever hear. I'll pick you up. I said, okay. And so I did, brought him to the 4 o'clock Mass, first time in a long time. And he saw how warm and beckoning not only the parish community was, but the beauty, the physical beauty of the church. But I think he was also impressed with the actual beauty of what happens on that altar. I don't know if he ever went back to church, but the aha was maybe you only have to ask somebody.
Right. That's a good start. You mentioned the gentleman reached out to you, and that's an immediate sign that there's some kind of questioning, some kind of interest. That is basically the first step through the door.
And sometimes when that happens, we can either, and I've done this, you can tense up. It's like, well, the faith is mine, or I don't know what to say, or I wouldn't know what to, you know, what do I say to him, you know?
Right, exactly. So I was kind of thinking about the evangelizer perspective and how the regular committed Catholic may feel pressure to be that constant evangelizer. So I was thinking sometimes the evangelizer may need to step back, reflect, relax, take it easy. And that's what I call the first step as know thyself, you know, almost like to give yourself a retreat, give yourself some, you know, however, some sort of spiritual sustenance.
Right.
To continue to reach out to those who are questioning or not questioning.
And maybe put yourself in the shoes of that person who's walked away from the church. You know, what are they thinking about? Ask the Holy Spirit for a little bit of guidance. And that may be difficult, but it also might be the icebreaker in the conversation. What do you do, James, if there's a loved one who has walked away from the church, and the position of a lot of those who have tried to bring them back into the church has been one of negativity and guilt. And that's a turnoff to all of us. But if it's been, you know, the guilt game that you're playing on that soul, how do you turn around that approach?
Well, there's a couple of things related to that. The first I was thinking of was, we hear that phrase, meet people where they are. And, you know, I see where that's going, but I also don't want to totally accommodate the position, or I don't want to compromise church teaching in order for someone to maybe feel good. But at the same time, though, the evangelizer has to be wary of preaching and proselytizing. And maybe that's where a lot of people who turned away from the faith walked away over the course of their journey. You know, that kind of rigid sort of authoritarian tone that they may have felt along the way. So we have to be careful. We have to, you know, walk with them, but also be firm, because I don't think people really appreciate or respect accommodationists at the end of the day. I think people are actually, even if they don't agree with the church or with the church teaching, or maybe don't identify as Catholic, I think they'll still respect, at the end of the day, the person who stands firm to convictions rather than just giving over.
They say perception is reality, James. Where do you think the Catholic Church got this perception of being authoritarian?
You know, I think a lot of it comes from, unfortunately, and I just have to say this, an ignorance about the faith and a secular perspective or a distorted perspective or sometimes just really bad catechesis. You know, for example, I think a Protestant or an evangelical perspective of the papacy is probably from the Reformation era, when, yes, there were corrupted popes and a papacy run rampant with wealth and other things. But at the same time, it doesn't take away from the reality of the 265 bishops of Rome leading us down to Peter and
right.
Christ. So it's just, unfortunately, we have to walk through step by step sort of the reality of the situation. That's where the evangelizer really has to know the faith rather than the emotions guiding that.
And yes, we are a part of a parish community, and we don't operate in a vacuum. But at the same time, the intimacy of my relationship, my romance with Jesus, is something that you can also communicate to that soul to bring them back, because that then echoes through the parish community and the community at large.
Well, I'd like to see more of that, to be honest with you. I mean, you're right. There's solid parishes and that are supporting each other in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, really, kind of, the Eucharist being our central point. Something that we can take away, though, from what you're talking about is this maybe accountability with other parishioners. How often would, let's say, we miss our usual, let's say, 9:30 a.m. Mass, where we sit at the same time, where we have to do some, another Mass, another parish, whatever, we're traveling. How many of those people around us are going to say, hey, where were you the last 3 weeks? I didn't see you. I think we need to be a little more outreaching towards those in the pews. Just make mm-hmm. even the committed Catholic feel welcomed and loved, because that's going to inform them when they step out of the church.
Got an email from a former colleague. Again, I don't know why. Well, they know I'm on Catholic radio, and it was an email about faith. And this person said, I haven't been to confession in a long time, and I'm kind of afraid. And I said, well, there's nothing to be afraid about, because I said, think about the most intimate and beautiful conversation that you have ever shared about your life with someone. Oh, yeah. No, they could connect with that. I said, that's exactly what you're doing, except you're having the conversation with Jesus, the person who loves you and made you. I said, so that's intimacy in a whole new level that you'll never experience before. Just go in and have a conversation with him. He's ready to forgive you. And that broke down the barrier of confession for that person.
Oh, great. Yeah, I think that's what Pope Francis was referring to, where, remember when he said, confession isn't a torture chamber.
Yeah.
But the good priest will hold you accountable and challenge you. Now that you've stepped out, received absolution, how are you going to live authentic penance? And that's an exciting step that one just needs to take, that their lives will be transformed by true authentic conversion.
James Day has come up with so many great spiritual solutions for you in terms of helping bring a soul back to the church. He's written about this in CatholicExchange.com, and we'll share it on our Morning Air Facebook page, James Day. And we also recommend his book, by the way, a terrific read, Father Benedict, The Spiritual and Intellectual Legacy of Pope Benedict XVI. You can put that in an Amazon search from Sophia Press. Thank you so much, James.
Thank you, John.